Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 25. Here's what it says. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. There we saw the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. As you are preparing to take your seats, with a smile on your face, joy in your heart. The smile on your face that says, "I just saved 15% by switching to Geico." Type smile on your face that says, "You got your tax return last Friday." Type smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you made it to church." This morning's sermon is controlling your thoughts. Look at another neighbor, look across at somebody, holler at them, say, "Hey, good morning. Glad you made it to church." This morning's sermon is controlling your thoughts. You may be seated in the presence of God. That's the third habit we want to look at. We've talked about putting God first. We talked about balancing relationships. Now we want to look at controlling your thoughts. That's our third habit. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my heart, meditations of my mind, and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Controlling your thoughts. Controlling your thoughts. Some time ago, I read a book called The Habit Loop, The Power of Habit, The Habit Loop. And I found out some things that were very interesting. I found out that there are companies that pay money to find out what your habits are. As a matter of fact, Facebook will track your habits because they can sell that to marketers. You may not know this, but Target really works hard to find out what your habits are. Target has scientists looking at cameras of people shopping patterns in the store, and they can tell if a woman is pregnant before the woman knows, because they realize that women have particular buying habits. And if they can find out what the buying habit is early, they start sending advertisements to your house, catered to you, to influence your shopping actions. They want to make sure that you shop at Target and not Walmart, and so they find out what your patterns are. Habit loop. In the book, they talk about scientists going to a college campus, and they were trying to find ways to convince college students to eat more vegetables. Because you know, when you're in college, you get the freshman 15 to go ahead and gain a few pounds because you were eating horribly and you're not eating vegetables. So they wanted to find a way to change the actions of the students. And they found out what they would do is change their habits. So they had two study groups. One group, they gave a catchy phrase to. It was something like, a vegetable per day keeps the doctor away. Next group, they gave a weird phrase to. For every tray of vegetable. They kept saying, for every tray of vegetable. The question was, which group would eat more vegetables? The group with the catchy phrase of a vegetable a day will keep the doctor away, or the group that was told for every tray of vegetable. It ended up being the group who was told for every tray of vegetable. Why would that be? They found out that in the cafeteria at the college, students would have to grab a tray to get their food. They had that habit, and so they connected vegetables to the people's habit, and because every time they grabbed a tray, they were triggered to think about a vegetable. The phrase didn't make sense until you grabbed the tray. They learned the people's habits, and once they learned their habits, they were able to influence their thinking, and when they influenced their thinking, they were able to change the people's actions. Here it is. In life, there are very few things that we can control. Clearly, we know we cannot control the weather because we've seen our weather have all kind of crazy things happening. Try as you might, you're not even able to control your finances. Somebody here can testify, I was doing fine, and then they wanted to go ahead and shut the government down and go on without two checks. I had everything under control until somebody else made a decision that impacted my life. As a matter of fact, you can't even control your grocery shopping, because if something happens to oil overseas, all of a sudden the price of eggs go up and now your balance is out of whack. Try as you might, there's very little that you can control. There is one thing that impacts every aspect of our lives that we have total control over, and that is our thoughts. As we began this series on habits, we talked about the importance of first things and how what you do first has an impact on the outcome. First things matter. Everything begins with a thought. Some of us can testify, if I knew then what I know now, my whole life would be different. Because if I knew then what I knew now, I would think better thoughts and I would make better decisions in my life. Somebody can say, Pastor, that is my testimony. I made some bad decisions because I didn't know. I thought I knew, but I lived long enough to realize I didn't know much. But if I knew then what I knew now, my life would be better, because everything begins with a thought. In 2019, I want to help us win by helping us control what we think. Here we are in the book of Numbers, looking to learn life lessons from the text. Now, text this morning is tailored to help us understand the importance of controlling our thoughts. The first thing we need to see is the power to persuade your thinking. The power to persuade thinking. Brothers and sisters, there is a constant battle to persuade the way you think in order to influence your actions. Let me say that one more time. There is a constant battle to persuade the way you think in order to influence your actions. I need to paint the picture of the context in order to help us understand what's happening in the text. In order to truly understand this text, we've got to go back to Genesis 12. We're in Numbers, but in order to truly understand what's happening in Numbers, we've got to go back to Genesis 12. There is where we see God show up in the little land of Ur, and he says to Abram, I want you to leave this place and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. God gives Abram a vision that goes well beyond Abram. It's a vision that his descendants will be blessed because of. My brother, my sister, let me just add this nugget for you. Some of the blessings that will happen in 2019 won't even be because of you. It'll be because God is keeping his word to your grandmama. God is keeping his word to your great-grandfather. Sometimes God gives a vision that goes beyond one person's lifespan. And Abram had a vision that went well beyond him. God gives him a vision that his descendants will benefit from. That's Genesis chapter 12. But by the time we get to the book of Exodus, that's the next book. By the time we get to the book of Exodus, the descendants of Abram are not dripping with bling. No, the descendants of Abram find themselves slaves in Egypt. And all they've known was slavery. All they've known was oppression. All they've known was struggle. God shows up in Exodus. God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says to him, lead the people out of bondage in Egypt. And then God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a land flowing, watch this, with milk and honey. That's what he says. Exodus chapter number 3, God says, lead them out of Egyptian bondage, and I'm going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And when we get to Numbers chapter 13, Moses has sent spies into the land of Canaan, and they've come back carrying huge fruit from the land. And they say to Moses and to the congregation, oh, that's an amazing place over there. They've got all kinds of stuff over there. The land, watch this, is flowing with milk and honey. And then they start their campaign to persuade the people's thinking. Because they had only known bondage, because they had only known oppression, because they had only known struggle, they tried to persuade the people that they could not have what God had promised them. Because they had a limited view of themselves, they had a limited view of what God could do for them, in them, and through them. And in this life, you will find that some people around you will try to persuade your thinking because they have limited views of themselves. They will try to persuade you that you cannot have what God has promised you. They will try to persuade you that God cannot move and work in your life. They will try to persuade you to have a limited view of God just like they do. That's why it's important to balance your relationships and get around people who are going somewhere. Get around people who believe that God can do great things in your life. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, that the devil is at work trying to persuade you away from God's purpose in your life. You need to understand that the devil is at work every day trying to persuade you that you cannot have what God has promised you. The devil is at work trying to persuade you that God will bless others and not you. He will tell you things like, you know, you're too old to go back to school now. He'll tell you things like, nobody in your family bought a house, so what makes you think you can? The devil will try to convince you that you cannot be blessed. He will try to persuade your thinking. Come here, Eve. Let me see if I can get an example from you. Eve, tell us how you were persuaded. Eve would say, I thought my life was fine. I had everything I needed. And then the devil persuaded me to think that God was hiding things from me. The devil persuaded me to doubt God, and my life was ruined as a result of it. Brothers and sisters, there is a constant battle to persuade the way you think in order to influence your actions. In the text, the 10 spies tried to persuade the people away from the promised land because they saw themselves as weak. Listen, some people will try to persuade you to think that you cannot have because they have a low view of themselves. They will try to persuade you to think that you cannot be blessed because they have a low view of themselves. But I wonder this morning, Does anybody in Uplift that's made up in their mind that in 2019 you cannot be persuaded away from God's plan for your life? I wonder if there's anybody in Uplift this morning that's willing to declare, although they was tense-fied to try to persuade somebody, I would be the one that believes that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. God's promises can still come true. In the text, the 10 spies tried to persuade everybody else away from God's promise because they couldn't see themselves blessed. They were afraid to go after the promise, and they knew that if they could persuade the people, then they wouldn't have to worry about the promise. Brothers and sisters, the devil works every day to persuade your thinking in order to change your actions away from God's purpose for your life. Next Sunday, we're going to deal with making sure we focus on purpose over praise. We're going to deal with making sure everything in 2019 lines up with God's purpose and plan for our life. But the devil tries every day to get you off track by persuading your thinking. There is a constant battle to persuade the way you think. Not only does the text show us the power to persuade thinking, it also shows us the problem of poor thinking. The problem of poor thinking. It's one thing when the problem comes from without. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes our problems come from within. It's one thing if it's your mama that told you you couldn't. It's one thing if it's your best friend that said you couldn't. It's another thing when you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you can. When I became an alpha, Ambrose, you may have learned this, but you may have learned this as well. We learned this poem called The Man Who Thinks He Can. Man Who Thinks He Can. It went like this. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all a state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Then it ends by saying this: life's battle does not always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. In the text, brothers and sisters, we learn something about the battle that happens in our minds. 10 of the spies had went into the land that God had promised them. They saw the fruit of the land. They saw that the land was a good land. But the problem was that they saw the people there, and they saw the people were stronger than they were. The text says that they saw the sons of Anak there, which means they saw giants there. And then they voiced their own mental struggle. They said, "We cannot get the land because when we went there, we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And because we thought of ourselves as grasshoppers, the people saw us just like we saw ourselves." Listen, no one is going to value you more than you value you. Let me say that again, because somebody needs to hear that. Nobody is going to value you. Nobody's going to value your gifts, your talents more than you value you. People will view you the way you view you. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and they saw the people around them as giants. But wait, hold up, Pastor. This is the people who were oppressed in slavery. This is the people who were trapped in bondage. And I got issues with you blaming them. I got issues with them because in a very real sense, let's try to look at it from their perspective. The truth of the matter is, they had been in bondage. The truth of the matter is, they didn't have their own land. I mean, they've been wandering through the desert. They don't have their own houses. And the text says they saw the Amalekites there. The Amalekites were known as tribal raiders. They were known for attacking towns and stealing. These were fighters. They saw the Amalekites there. Not only that, they saw the Hittites there. The Hittites were descendants of Egyptians, and they were known for their military. military might. So they saw raiders there who were known how to fight. They saw a military group there who knew how to fight. Not only that, on top of that, Pastor, the Bible says they saw the sons of Anak there. They were the giants in the land. Pastor, maybe they weren't being pessimistic. Maybe they were being realistic. The reality is, sometimes what we see in front of us is bigger than us. They saw themselves as grasshoppers because they were looking at the other people having more than them. And maybe there's somebody here today. You're thinking just like the 10 spies. Pastors, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. Sure, if I had the resources of other people, I'd have more, Pastor. If I would have more confidence. If I had the education of somebody else, sure, I would be able to think better about myself. If I had the connections of somebody else, sure, I could think more positive. Maybe we ought to give the 10 spies a break. At first glance, it seemed that they are right to have some pause. It seems that they are right to say we cannot take the land. The problem in the text is this. You got to flip back a little bit to learn their history. The problem in the text is this. Exodus chapter number 17, they had already ran into the Amalekites. The Bible says that the Amalekites were winning, and Moses went up on the hill, and Moses held up his hand, and God had already given them victory over the Amalekites. So why are they worried about that? You got to go back to Exodus chapter number 33, where God says, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, and he says, I'm going to send an angel before you to drive out the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites. The challenge that some of us have is that we have a low view of ourselves that caused us to have a low view of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to help us this morning. Whenever poor thinking plagues your mind, you got to start talking to yourself. That's right. You got to start talking to yourself. You got to start encouraging yourself with the word of God. Remind yourself that the word of God says things like, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Remind yourself that the word of God says, if God be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. Remind yourself that the word of God says, with man these things are impossible, but with God all things are. You got to begin to talk to yourself. Remind yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remind yourself, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Every now and then you got to talk to yourself. And then after that, you got to remind yourself of what God has already done. Let your mind go back down memory lane and say, you know what? This ain't my first battle. This ain't my first struggle. If God has got me through before, he can get me through again. There is a battle for your thoughts. Sometimes how poor thinking causes us to doubt God's ability to work in our lives. Then there's one more thing the text is telling to teach us, and I'm out of your way. That is the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking. I encourage you to read a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale, a pastor from a century ago. I encourage you to read his book, The Power of Positive Thinking. In the text, Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. 10 came back and said they couldn't get it. But thanks be to God, 2 had faith. Caleb and Joshua had faith that they were well able to go and take the land because that's what God had promised them. Here it is. I'm out of your way. The power of positive thinking. Caleb and Joshua understood what they were up against, but Caleb and Joshua realized that it was God that had gotten them out of Egypt. Caleb and Joshua realized it was God who sent manna from heaven to feed them when they had nothing to eat. Caleb and Joshua realized it was God who sent the plagues to deliver them from bondage. Caleb and Joshua began to realize that God has done all of this, if God has made all of these ways, then why are we afraid of these people in the land that God has promised to us? If God can deliver us from the Egyptian bondage, surely God can give us the land that he has promised. So my brothers and my sisters, God sent me by to let you know, whatever God's promises are for your life are greater than the struggles before you. Whatever God's plans are for your life cannot hinder whatever the devil throws at you. Once you realize that God can do exceedingly and above.
abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Even when it looks bad, you will say to yourself, as long as I got God, I can get through this. Even when the struggles come, you can say to yourself, as long as God's on my side, I know his will be done in my life. Every now and then, you got to remind yourself that God is able to do just what he says. The Bible says this, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then it tells us this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Why? By the renewing of your mind. You've got to renew your mind to tell yourself, God has a purpose for my life. God has a plan for my life. And it does not matter how many times the devil tries to get me off track. I'm going to think what God wants me to think. I'm going to control my thoughts. My brothers and my sisters, if you want your 2019 to be better than your 2018, you got to make sure that you understand that every single day there is a battle to persuade your thinking. Every day, the devil tries to convince you that you cannot do. Every day, the devil tries to convince you that you cannot have. He'll show you why you should not move forward. But you got to begin to remind yourself what the Word of God says. You got to begin to open the Bible and see God's positive affirmations about your life. You got to understand the problem of poor thinking. Sometimes it's not other people convincing us that we can't. Sometimes the problem, I've got to admit, is me. Sometimes I've seen my own faults, my own failures, and they cause me to doubt that I can go forward in God's name. Sometimes I see my own hindrances and it causes me to think that surely God will use somebody other than me. You got to begin to remind yourself, my brothers and my sisters, what God's word says. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. You got to have the power of positive thinking. As you begin to develop a habit that controls your thoughts, begin to realize that everything begins with your thoughts. Begin to think better thoughts. Begin to have better outcomes. 2019, I want to have a healthy habit of having better thoughts. Pastor, how? How do I begin to get better thoughts? How do I begin to control my thoughts? Here it is. It's a challenge. A couple of things. I'm done. Four quick challenges for you. Number one, start your day with God. Okay, some of us, you know, you wake up in the morning, before you get out of your bed, before you brush your teeth, you start your day on Facebook, and you scroll, and you see what everybody else is saying, you see what you missed, you look at the little news clip, then you go to Instagram, and all the time you get out of bed, you've seen some of the news clip, and you're mad before you even brush your teeth. Start your day with God. This is why we encourage you to take part in our 21 days of prayer. Start your day with God. Then you've got to guard your mind from garbage. Guard your mind from garbage. For some of y'all, that means you got to hang up on some of your friends that call and gossip about everybody else. Guard your mind from garbage. Some of the stuff you watch is not uplifting to you. Guard your mind. Don't keep dumping garbage in your mind and don't let nobody else dump their garbage in your mind. Guard your mind from garbage. Get around positive people. Have you ever had a good day and you got around some negative people and all of a sudden your good day has turned bad because their negativity has rubbed off? Get around some people that make you smile. Get around some people that give you joy. Then finally, don't dwell on negative thoughts. When negative thoughts creep up, you got to remind yourself what God's word says about your life. Can we do that? Start our day with God. Guard our mind from garbage. Get around positive people. And when negative thoughts creep in, open the Word of God and see what God's Word says about your life. That will help you have a healthy habit of controlling your thoughts. Let's go before God in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your Word. Lord God, we also want to say thank you that we have the ability to control our thoughts. We know we have the ability to control our thoughts because we have the ability to even overcome sin in our lives. We have the ability to overcome sin in our lives because you sent Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross, that we might have right relationship with you and that we might have even power over the sin that held us bondage. So we pray now, Lord God, that you would help us to think better thoughts. Understanding that everything begins with a thought. We want to have better habits. We got to begin to think better thoughts. Help us to do that today. Lord God, we pray somebody who is sitting here Uplift Church this morning who's never had a relationship with you. They've never really known what your word says about their lives and accepted the positive things that you promised to bless them with. They never had that. They've never had a relationship with you. Lord God, we pray right now that you would touch somebody's heart. Cause them to ask the question, what must I do to have this relationship with God who has blessings for my life? Lord God, we pray right now that you would touch somebody's heart, letting them know that you sent Jesus Christ to die for them, for their mess ups, for their hang ups, for their sins, for their failures, and that you raised him on the third day that they might have relationship with you. This is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, maybe there's somebody here today. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never made a public confession of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you are here. You can admit, Pastor, I have. I got saved when I was young in church, but I've lived years without really being committed to the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, my brother, my sister, we invite you to make your way forward, give me your hand, give God your heart. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, and you sense God leading you to work out your soul salvation here at Uplift Church. If that's you, my brother, my sister, we invite you to give me your hand and give God your heart. Is there one? Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to confess Jesus Christ. Pastor, I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Pastor, I'm looking to join Uplift Church to work out my soul salvation. Is there one? Lord God, thank you for your word. Lord God, we pray now for somebody under the sound of my voice who struggled for years with negative thoughts. Because of negative thoughts about themselves, they had low view of you working in their lives. I pray right now, Lord God, that you remove the negativity and that you would fill them with positive affirmations from your word, not just from some guru, but what you say about them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray right now, Lord God, that somebody who has been trapped by depression and low thoughts would find freedom today. And we'll be able to control our thoughts in 2019, helping us to have better habits. This is indeed our prayer. In the marvelous and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise for his word. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. You may be seated in the presence of God.